Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, your LAFC gateway drug and the only LAFC podcast that forces teams to play on turf. I'm Travis Helwig.
I'm Darren Miller. Welcome to our preview of another El Tráfico, LAFC's MLS match versus the Galaxy on Saturday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. at BMO Stadium. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV+, and we'll be live streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle at youtube.com/@HappyFootSadFoot.
Subscribe now to get notified when we go live.
Also, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us keep making it, become a friend of the foot by clicking the Patreon link in the show notes or pick up some half-foot merch by going to happyfootsatfootpod.com.
Later in the show, we'll interview LA Times soccer reporter Kevin Baxter about the LA Galaxy. And as always, we're going to talk about all the storylines for the match and make some bets. But first, we must prove we're worth listening to when we talk about soccer by first talking about far less interesting bullshit. It's time for listener-mandated banter. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I've found a new location.
That only applies just every to the single watching on video.
That's true. What if every single time from now on, it has to be a different background? That's my new rule.
That'd be cool. I mean, I was in Arrowhead.
How long would it take me? Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, you did this before I did.
No, you were moving around. We've done a couple of remote ones. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be back before the game, so that won't matter. Should I bet on the team? It won't matter to the background is what I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you could have done a Vegas background.
Yeah.
I thought you were just finally bringing up something way more interesting.
Well, I will say,
you know, saving me in a more normal way.
I'm realizing right now, I haven't been to Vegas since the day of the MLS Cup Finals, which I think I told everyone the story of another episode. If I haven't, I'll do it.
Yeah,
next
when
episode.
You famously just bailed on the team, I guess is the
I didn't bail on the team, Darren. I saw the goal on a Jumbotron. I saw the Gareth Bale goal on a Jumbotron. I was going to miss my flight. Who in the world would have thought we would come back for after being scored on?
I guess just like everyone else in the stadium. But
I was going to miss my flight. I hugged a stranger outside of the stadium watching the goal on a screen.
Beautiful experience.
It was an unbelievable once in a lifetime experience.
I remember you telling the story to me either on the show or just to me before that being able to catch it on the Jumbotron from outside the stadium.
It was crazy.
It was a very cool thing.
It was, I heard the sound, I turned around, and I saw the famous close-up of Gareth Bale's face running towards the corner on the Jumbotron from outside the stadium. It was so cool. And then I listened to Dave Denholm's radio call on the way to the airport and celebrated in my car.
Yeah, that's still special. You're going back there for the first time since then. That's crazy. But I have been there since then, and last time I was there was during the last El Tráfico, or a couple El Tráficos ago.
Yeah, you did Vegas episodes.
I did.
Was it the good El Tráfico or the two bad El Tráficos?
It was the good El Tráfico. I was just about to say it was the one in Vegas. Shit.
All right.
What was it? I don't know how to describe it.
The one in Carson that we won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was that one.
Yeah, the good one. The good one.
Yeah, it was great. All right. So it'll happen again.
Yeah, I think that'll be... Well, I'm not going to be there. Oh, no. No, I won't. This is a terrible listener-mandated banter. Boy, has this gone poorly.
Should we just get one more subject in and I can just cut some stuff out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did cupping last night.
Like the thing that swimmers do?
The Michael Phelps thing, yeah.
The thing where you look like a cow?
You look more like a man who has a skin condition. I sent a photo of
Cuskin's disease.
There's two circles on my pec right here, and they're bright purple. And our friend Kevin, who's been on the show a few times, was super high. And so I sent him a photo of it. And he said, "What happened? Did someone slam an old timey telephone down on your chest?" Like, that's something only a high person could come up with.
That's great.
How are your allergies doing, Darren?
Can you tell? I feel like a freaking balloon.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep in. Can we get one more subject in and I'll cut a lot of this out? And then me asking allergies and then me saying this and then let's start the show.
Yeah, good enough for me.
This is the LAFC of listener-mandated banters, I'll tell you that much.
Disappointing lately?
Hot and cold and annoying to do.
Let's start the show. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm an LAFC fan just like anyone else listening to this show, but I'm too busy living a full life as a productive adult in a society that functions because people like me have real jobs to spend all day, every day, dissecting every player's performance, every front office move, every opposing team's thing, every injury and weird scheduling conflict, every playoff scenario, and every backroom supporter group tax payoff scheme to really keep up with everything there is to know about the team. Luckily, my friend and co-host, Travis, the human LAFC crazy wall, doesn't have anything to contribute to society, which frees him up to do all of the above, like a modern-day version of 20th century mathematician John Nash, only he's obsessed with LAFC instead of cryptography, and also he has social skills and probably doesn't have schizophrenia. And that means every week he can report all the important storylines beneath the surface of every match back to us normals in our native language in a segment we like to call Storylines.
Couple of things, Darren. One, I think that was like the LA Galaxy of those intros where it started pretty weak, but it ended up really, really strong.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Two, you reminded me of the taxpayer, they're paying off the back taxes, which I had forgotten about, which is so funny that the LA Galaxy bribed a supporters group to return to the stadium during the boycott. Very funny. And three, I might have schizophrenia. I did think the Truman Show was about me as a child for like 6 months. So
that's a thing. People think that.
Yes, but it's a mild form of schizophrenia, I feel like.
Is it? I was going to say, I thought that what that is when people have that is just that. Like, it's like, oh, you're just someone who thinks that. And then, like,
it's called the Truman Show syndrome. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I thought I was alone.
It just wore off.
At some point I was like, that's fucking crazy. I thought it was something only I had ever dealt with. And then I was on the subway in New York, like in my 20s, and read an article in the New Yorker about it and how it's this new thing. I was like, oh, okay.
Which, you know, if you have it and you read an article about it, you're like,
oh, they're
wait,
just
this
bringing
me
back
right.
In. Fuck. Darren, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we made the conscious choice to make a sports podcast where we have to record before and after every game of the season. And that means we have to do these podcasts when the team is soaring and when the team is struggling. So I'm wondering, Darren, do you have a therapist?
I absolutely do.
I think it's good you have a therapist because you're not going to like these storylines, Darren. Oh, they're going to make you feel bad. I have a therapist too, and sometimes she shares too much information about her client's private life, but that's fun. Whoa. But she probably shouldn't do that. But I'm asking about therapists. I hope she doesn't listen. I'm asking about therapists because of our first storyline of this week's match. And if she did listen, she can't really tell me. So she'll only be able to be quietly mad, which is fun.
No, that's the thing that she can tell you. It's you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. I'm asking about therapists because of the first storyline of this week's match, Darren, which is this. Are we okay? And not the fans, because I know the fans aren't okay. I'm wondering, is the team okay? Genuinely, deep down, are they doing all right? Because I have absolute whiplash doing these pregame shows this season and week to week. Because before Miami, I was talking about how our team could beat any team in the league. Earlier in the season, I was talking about how we were the best MLS team of all time. I think we've all gone through these mood swings this season where it goes from, has there ever been a team better? And I don't think I ever want to watch another game of Major League Soccer. But since we lost to Leon in the Champions League, our team has been absolutely abysmal. We've had some stretches of decent games, but overall, we look lost and terribly inconsistent. And if you want to win in the playoffs, which probably now is our only shot at getting in the Champions Cup because we're not going to win the West this year, is to be consistent. You have to be consistent because every game matters. There have only been two things that have been incredibly consistent over the course of this season, Darren. One, Mateus Bogusz playing incredible soccer. And two, my desire to leave my wife for Denny Bawanga. Darren, can you think of anything else consistent over the course of the season?
Oof. Really? No. Boy, that's a great question. The second one, I guess for the first time ever, comes as a bit of a surprise to me that remains consistent. I mean, I think that's a steadfast, unconditional love that...
sexual attraction.
Doesn't rest on whether he makes the pass.
It works different, you know. Sometimes when someone does a bad thing, you like them more, you know? We've lost three... pretty important games in a row. And our hope of winning the West isn't seeming all that hopeful at the moment. In our last three, we've scored two. You like how fast I moved on? In our last three, we've scored two goals. In our last three, we've scored two goals and given up seven in those games. 7-2 in our last three games. Not great for a team that used to win 3-0, 4-0, 7-1. This skid feels a little different than the one earlier in the season, because at least we had a good excuse then. The number of games, the insane schedule, it's still early in the season, but we only have 7 regular season games left. And our last match is just over a month away on the 21st of October. So even if we pull out a few of these games over this really tough month, you don't want to be inconsistent heading into the playoffs where you have no choice but to win every single game in a row. I keep saying this, but on paper, we're the best team in the league. But something just hasn't clicked this year. We're playing confused and without passion, and at times we're playing with what looks like desperation. And of course, we've been playing all season without our top scorer from last year, Chicho Arango, which brings us to our second storyline of the match, Darren. Is it time to worry about Mario Gonzalez? I told you wouldn't like these. We've begged.
This is tough.
We've pleaded. We showed up at John Thorington's door with one of those huge medieval maces, all because we wanted a striker, a number 9 that could replace our beloved Chicho Arango. And when Mario was signed, we were excited, thrilled even. He looked like exactly what we needed. But in his first 4 games with LAFC, he's only scored 1 goal, and the rest of the offense hasn't looked great around him either. Mario has had more opportunities to succeed than a Trump child, and he just can't finish, even when he's looking at a sitter. So, understandably so, fans have gotten a little bit worried about our new striker. I've said we should keep the faith, but even I have begun to worry a bit. Right here on this very podcast, while I was gone and didn't have internet, Jeff Tock, one of those mummified aliens pretending to be a human, suggested we bench Mario for our young homegrown player, Nathan Ordaz. Now, we love Nathan Ordaz, but that seems a bit insane to me to give up on the Mario experiment only after 4 games. Darren, how are you feeling about Mario?
Well, I did like the Ordaz idea. I don't know that I was on board for him playing 90. I love the chaos of Ordaz. I believe if you go back and listen to that episode, Vince very quickly made a great point that we often see Ordaz doing the things we love seeing him do because of the circumstances he's able to go in and sort of cause trouble, and it gives him a certain advantage that he wouldn't have if he ended up having to play a full 90. Comparing that to
he's
Mario,
the definition of scrappy. He's like a rabble rouser. Yeah. He's Roger Stone. He's in there to like fuck shit up.
Yeah. It's great. I love him, but I am really not ready to give up on Gonzalez at all. I don't know what to say other than I just disagree that it's been enough games. Like, I just think I have a more leeway than others, I guess. Like, it hasn't felt like that long to me.
Well, Darren, I have some good news for you, because I saw a tweet that changed my mind. At LAFC Daniel tweeted a list of players who have only scored one goal in their first four MLS games. And I want to share some of the names on that list, Darren. Christian Espinoza, Sebastian Driussi, Hani Mukhtar, last year's MVP, Lucho Acosta, this year's MVP favorite, and Denny Buwanga, and Chicho Arango has the exact same goal per first four games as our very own Mario Gonzalez.
Never, the guy he's replacing in our hearts.
Yes. Never before did I want to give someone more time than learning that he shares with Denny Buwanga and Chicho Arango a rough start. I remember people calling Buwanga B-Rod really early on. I remember people saying Chicho was a bust early on. I think it is a little worrisome that Buwanga and Vela don't look great next to Mario. I do think it's way too early for us to give up on Mario. And that storyline was what you call a head fake. I love Mario.
I like him too. I really think these new guys, this came up on the post-game show, but I just really think the reps they've been able to get in so far just does not count to me as enough to be like, how come they're not performing? It just still feels like they're getting... Any other sport, you watch new guys come into a team and you're like, cool, let's see what happens in the next like month or two.
Well, Mario isn't our only complication up front this week, Darren, which brings us to our third storyline of the match.
Third storyline?
I don't want to do this either, Darren. This seems miserable. You think I liked writing storylines for a game I'm terrified to go to? which brings us to our third storyline of the match, you piece of fucking garbage, which is this.
I have a question, though, because I think Buwanga, the not passing to Vela, and before that, not passing to other people, it's just like, I feel like it signals that maybe he wouldn't be as supportive if you guys were together, you know?
He's a selfish. I'm not going to say lover, but he's a selfish partner.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah, it's like his style of play might suggest it might be a bit of a red flag that like. So that's why I'm a little surprised that that has remained steadfast. Anyway, back to the third storyline.
Darren, sometimes you like it when people are mean to you. But Mario isn't our only complication up front this week, which brings us to our third storyline of the match, which is this. Will our international players be back in time for the match? See how I'm going to get to what you were just talking about? As of writing this, we have not gotten official word as to whether or not our players off an international break will be back in time for the match. Dolo was coy when he was asked about it in a press conference on last Thursday, and he said he does know whether or not they'll be back in time for Trafico, but he won't be sharing that info. It was funny. It seemed like he really resents having to do those interviews. And as we said last week, five players were gone on team duty: Daniel Maldonado, Christian Torres, Kiki Oliveira, Stipe Buick, and of course, the man we were just talking about, Denny Buwanga, who we haven't seen since the game against Miami. And in that game, I don't know if you remember, Darren, he had a bit of a Buick puke. Now, Darren, the window is over as of today. Do you think they will make it back in time? And even better of a question, do you want Denny Buwanga back? Just kidding. We want Denny Buwanga back. Obviously, we do. I'm just being insane. He's the best player on our team, but his flaws have been showing. The better question I want to ask you, Darren, is do you think he can handle the pressure of an El Tráfico immediately following melting under the pressure of the Miami game?
Do I think he can? I don't know. I would like to be optimistic. I will be optimistic. This factors into my bet and forget it later. So a little preview for that. Stick around. I think it was very helpful that he like took a game off was in a completely different universe of a team and a situation. Now he's coming back into another big game right away. I think he wants nothing more and is focused on nothing more than thorough and concise redemption. And so I think this is a really good situation to achieve that.
He's going to go down on his partner after being yelled at for not going down on his partner.
Listen,
it says explicit. We can say whatever we want.
It says explicit. We check it off every time, guys.
We haven't gotten the kid that should be for kids in a while, so I think we're good. Now, as our team finds itself in disarray, I think it's important to finally talk about the biggest storyline of the match, Darren, which is this. This is fucking El Tráfico, and we're not playing Chris Klein's Galaxy. We've done three other Galaxy match previews this year. Three, because we canceled one, and then we've had two other games. And I've said it in all of them. El Tráfico games are different. They just are. I've also said in all of them, if you don't call it El Tráfico, or you get mad when people call it El Tráfico, you're fucking stupid. Go back and listen to our first episode. I think we lost some listeners in that first episode when I said that. But
I think that's insane. I could not agree more with that sentiment.
It's just funny. It's stupid. Let it be stupid. It's fine.
It's not even that stupid or funny. Like, it's not even that unserious. Like, there's traffic in LA. It's not even that much of a joke. Like, the subway series is a thing. Do people think that's a silly thing? It's not silly.
It's just stupid.
It's just a unique thing about the city.
I think there's a small percentage of fans. And I don't think this is most fans. There's a small percentage of fans who take this very seriously in a way that is like, I'm willing to fist fight strangers over this. And those people don't want the biggest game of the year to be defined by some sort of like jokey, feels like kind of MLS 90s, like dumb thing. And I'll say to that, yeah, we're past that. Okay. The league is past that. Well, I think
lucky for our viewers and listeners, we are full of nuance and complexity as human beings. And we can both take this team and these games seriously and, you know, not be wound so tight about everything.
And if you're one of those people who are going to fight over a sport, you should get a therapist. Why do we have the therapist?
Yeah, that's true. I think we're pretty well adjusted.
Compared to you, motherfuckers. I'm not saying that's everyone who doesn't like El Tráfico.
Other random dudes fighting in a restroom at the last El Tráfico, and then the guy whose shirt got torn had to ask for his daughter back. So I don't know. I feel like we're right.
Yeah. Look, that was a tangent just to say El Tráfico is a good name. And just because Taylor Twellman and Alexi Lalas and I agree on that doesn't mean it's bad. But El Tráfico games are different. They just are. And the Galaxy are much different than any of the other times we faced them this year. The roles are kind of reversed since the beginning of the season. LAFC is struggling to secure points, and the Galaxy have been surging since they fired Chris Klein. As you know, Darren, the Galaxy had their worst start to the season in club history this year, with a massive boycott to fire Chris Klein, their president and star of the hit 90s sexual assault comedy American Pie. And then they did fire Chris Klein. It is a sexual assault comedy, if we want to think back to it. Fire Chris Klein.
Yeah, it's a bunch of friends who commit to
sex crimes together.
sex crimes by the end of senior year.
Before we graduate, we got to commit a sex crime. The 90s really were different, great, man. So they did fire Chris Klein. Then they beat us at the Rose Bowl. And then someone called me and you gentrifiers because we tweeted that we didn't like the Rose Bowl because it's hard to get out of. Which is still my favorite insult that we've been called since starting this is Gentrification FC. Since the Galaxy beat us in that game on July 4th, they have been playing much, much better as a team. We're going to go more into depth with that in our interview with Kevin Baxter after this. But since July 4th, they've only lost a single regular season MLS game, and they've been undefeated in their last four. And while they're still placed pretty low on the table is tight. They are currently only 4 points out of the playoffs. That's more than enough time for a team playing well in a tight table to get to the playoffs. Tight table.
It's a tight, tight table.
Tight table.
It's a tight table. It's the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
Maybe that's a tight table. It's like any Thanksgiving when someone brings like an extra person, you got to find that chair in the garage.
Yeah, you find the folding chairs and then you cram them in there, and then you know you might fight over who's the person with the, you know, you're straddling one of the table legs.
Tight table. Ooh, that's a tight table.
That's a tight table.
If unrestrained, we could do a good 15 minutes on tight table.
Honestly, Travis and I are the best people to do a 20 minute episode on just the concept of tight table. We're hitting our sweet spot. That's a tight table. Right now. Ooh, I don't know why. I don't know how. What a tight table. My goodness.
So they have new players that have infused them with energy. And Ricky Puig, the payaso himself, has been playing his best soccer since he joined MLS.
Payaso.
He has become the star that the Galaxy actually thought he could be. And on top of that, we know that the LA Galaxy are just a different team when they play LAFC. And our play against them has been inconsistent over the years. While we have their number in the playoffs, in the regular season, they have beaten us 7 times, and we've only beaten them 3 times, and we've drawn them 5. That's not great as a record. We know El Tráfico will have a lot of goals. We know El Tráfico will have a lot of lead changes. We know El Tráfico will feature a fight in a bathroom where you'll see someone ask someone else to hold their baby. But what we don't know is what LAFC team is going to show up on Saturday to fight for our season. Darren, how are you feeling about the team and about yourself now that we've made it through those treacherous storylines?
Oh, man, that was a tough journey. It just made me more scared. You do a great job with these because I get like equal parts terrified and also amped for the game to happen. So now I think the problem is that I have to wait like a few days before what needs to happen is you say these things to me and then I turn and the game is happening right away.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how some people consume it. You know, they're driving to the game and they listen.
Yeah, they're driving to the game. That was the whole idea behind the show. This is what you listen to on the way to the game.
You know what helped me
here? I think it's an ideal way to do it.
When we played the Galaxy in the playoffs last year, I was so anxious, like unbelievably anxious. And I
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What I did to hedge my bet is that I bet $100 that the Galaxy would win. And I know that that's heresy, but they were the underdog. And so I knew if LAFC won, I would be ecstatic. And if we lost, I at least would have won like $250. And so I was like, no matter what, I'm not going to feel as sad as I know I would be if we had lost and we won anything. And I lost that $100 and I was ecstatic.
What would you have done with all that blood money?
Giving it to the Saudis. They need it. I liked when they cut up that journalist. Those are a story. Kevin Baxter is going to listen to his first episode of this show and be like, exactly. What He's the fuck like, what is, did what did do? I sign up for? When we come back, we have an interview with that man, Kevin Baxter of the LA Times. He has contributed to 3 Pulitzer Prize-winning series for the LA Times and the Miami Herald, and has worked at the LA Times for 27 years, where, among other things, he is their longtime soccer writer. Please welcome to the show the legendary Kevin Baxter. Kevin, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
So I wanted to hit it right on the head as we started, Kevin. There's a bit of a misconception within the LAFC community, myself included, before I reached out to you, around your role at the LA Times and the fact that you co-host Corner of the Galaxy pod or partially co-host that podcast. People think that means you're an LA Galaxy fan, and I want to give you the opportunity to speak directly to our people as to why that is not the case.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Matt Gaetz coming on MSNBC here a little bit. But it's funny that you say that because, I mean, you know, Chris Klein is absolutely positive, convinced that I got him fired. Most Galaxy fans think that I'm an LAFC fan. I do a podcast, and I would love to do an LAFC podcast, but the fact is I've never been asked. I mean, this is my third guest appearance on an LAFC podcast in 6 years, right? Six seasons. Anybody wanted me to do a regular thing, I would do it. But Corner of the Galaxy is a podcast I've been working on for a number of years, but there's actually two shows. The Monday show is called From the Box. And From the Box, when I started doing it, I always thought it meant from the penalty area. That was my conception of a soccer show, From the Box. But know that the meaning is from the press box. And that Monday show is straight ahead journalism. If we say the word we're saying yes in French, we're not talking about the team. We criticize them. People say we're too hard on them, but it's straight ahead journalism. They do have a second show on Thursday, which maybe I get confused with. I'm never on the show. I refuse to do it. It's much more of a fanboy show. But what I am, I'm a journalist. I cover both teams. I cover Angel City. I just got back from a month in New Zealand at the Women's World Cup. Maybe one last thing is there is a tradition that in American sports writing and in Canada, but really nowhere else in the world, where if you're a sports journalist, you are nonpartisan. You don't have a stake in either side. And a lot of fans have trouble understanding that. They keep asking me, when I covered the Dodgers or the Marlins, are you a Marlins fan? Are you a Dodgers fan? No. It's really the only two countries, U.S. and Canada, where, you know, we don't cheer in the press box. There was even a book written about that. No cheering in the press box. It would be like, you know, I think it would be like wearing a MAGA hat to the Democratic National Convention. I mean, we just don't do that. I cheer for a good story. And I will say it's more fun to be around a winning team. Everybody's in a better mood. You see much better, whether it's soccer or baseball. You see a better brand of game when you're covering a winning team. But I cheer for the story. And to be honest, a lot of times I'll be writing a story and I'll have a really good angle on the Galaxy or LAFC or Angel City losing, and they come back to win. And I'm disappointed. And people say, "Did you want to win?" I didn't care if they won or lost. I cared about my story. And I had a really good story about them losing. And that's why I'm disappointed. I really don't care about the result.
All right. Well, so to prove it, say one mean thing about the LA Galaxy.
How long is this show?
So you've been on the soccer beat for the LA Times for a while now. And I just wanted you to give us a bit of a perspective on how soccer in the city of Los Angeles has changed since you started doing that at the LA Times.
Well, I think it's become way more mainstream. And by that, I mean, when I started, I was a baseball guy, covered baseball for decades and loved it and didn't really understand soccer, didn't like soccer. I went to the 2010 World Cup and was embedded with the Mexican team because I speak Spanish. And when we came back, our regular soccer writer, Graham Jones, retired or was pushed into retirement, depending on your viewpoint. But in any case, they said, "You've been to a World Cup, you do soccer." And I was like, "Oh my God, I don't understand anything about it." And it was really my wife who sort of tutored me and got me into it. Now I'm a geek. Now I really love it. But in the beginning days, and maybe it was my lack of understanding of the game, but I felt like everything had to be explained. You had to say what supporter shield was. You had to explain what promotion and relegation was and why they didn't have it in MLS. Now, all those things, and when you look at a show like Ted Lasso, and I think this is the perfect example, Ted Lasso is not for soccer geeks. It's a mainstream show. But there are so many soccer things in that show that they just go on the assumption you understand it. Promotion, relegation, offside, all those kind of things they sometimes make jokes about. But you don't get the show unless you understand the basics of the game. Ted Lasso wouldn't have worked 10 years ago.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. I never thought about it that way.
But look at our city. I mean, we have three teams, right? They sell, well, Angel City and LAFC sell out on a pretty regular basis. And in fact, we know LAFC is not, with the exception of the COVID year, has not played before an MLS crowd with an empty seat, or at least all the tickets not being having been distributed. Angel City, you know, led the NWSL in attendance in its first season. The Galaxy are really struggling. Their season ticket base is way down. They just had a game the other night, 19,000. But there are games, there have been games, when two of the three teams are playing in the city on the same night, and they sell out. I mean, yeah. So that's 45,000 soccer fans on one night. And we've seen the Rose Bowl getting crowds of 80,000, 90,000. The game with the Galaxy and LAFC was a good example. Now, I know the LAFC game during Leagues Cup was a little bit of a clunker, but That was organized at the last second. No one knew about it. It was a midweek game. I get all those things. But when you get 90,000 twice in the last year in LA for a soccer game, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So, we don't like to talk about the Rose Bowl on this podcast. It's a gateway to hell anytime we play there. Speaking of which, I wanted to bring you on because I know you know a lot about both teams, and we haven't really been following the Galaxy closely because we've been full of self-loathing for our own team. And I've noticed and I've heard that the Galaxy have been surging as of late. What's changed for the Galaxy since we played them in the Rose Bowl? Why are they suddenly clicking?
Yeah, and I actually do want to talk about both teams. But the Galaxy have, speaking about Chris Klein, which you can, some people can blame me or credit me, whatever you want, for Chris Klein getting fired. I actually had nothing to do with it. But the Galaxy have gone 5-1-6 since Chris Klein was fired as president back in May. And that includes, obviously, the July 4th game at the Rose Bowl. But they're still 13th in the Western Conference. They were 14th when they started the streak. They're still 13th. And the problem is 5-1-6, right? That's 7 games when they drop points. You can't climb the ladder when you're dropping points. So that's a problem. They're unbeaten. They've got a 4-game unbeaten streak in MLS play, but they're still 4 places and 4 points out of a playoff berth. And one thing about, speaking of this game coming up on Saturday, LAFC probably isn't going to recognize the Galaxy, because when they last saw them in the game we won't mention, they have 6 new players since then. And 5 of them are likely to start. They have Diego Fagundes playing the midfield, Maya Yoshida, who is an under-the-radar stud. He was captain of the Japanese national team. Wow. He's there. Edward Cerillo, Michael Berrios, and Billy Sharp, who is kind of a welcome to Wrexham type guy from England, played a lot of games in the lower divisions over there, but has already scored 2 goals in 4 games for the Galaxy.
Yeah, I saw he scored like an insane goal per minute ratio already with them, which is terrifying because we can't score no matter how hard we try.
And there's a real, and a couple other things, there's a real issue about whether he will start the game against LAFC. He kind of deserves it. He's kind of earned it, and he's fit now. But Dejan Jovetic, who's been starting at forward and has not really been very effective, he always plays so well against LAFC. It's one of those things. Do you think that there's something to that he has figured something out about LAFC and you give him the start, or do you put Billy Sharp in there and let him play the minutes that he deserves to play?
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we talk about it a lot on this show of like the Galaxy are a different team when they play us. We have been a better team than them all 6 years we've been in the league. And every single time they play us, I feel like we're playing from behind. We always feel like we get caught up in the moment, and it feels like they always bring their A game. And that's not to say I don't think we've played good games against them. I think we have. It just feels like we are always slightly more on edge than they are, or maybe it means more to them because they've had less success over the last few years and it matters about losing the city, or as we say, they've lost the city. So I don't know. I've grown to feel a lot of anxious dread leading up to El Tráfico's and not a lot of excitement. It's not fun to play the Galaxy.
You know, when it started, I mean, you said LAFC is a better team. I would argue that LAFC, since its inception, has been the best team in MLS. And I know that Philadelphia has 1 or 2 more points and maybe 1 more win, but they play in the Eastern Conference. And come on, I don't think you can really compare.
Montreal's there.
Yeah, the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference. I think LAFC has been the best team in the league since their inception. But in this rivalry, I think the turning point was the COVID year. If you remember, LAFC really spanked the Galaxy in Florida. It was a horrible game. The Galaxy were totally embarrassed. And I think when they came back, remember the first game back, they played that closed door game. It wasn't BMO then, but at LAFC's place. And that was the game that not only did the Galaxy win for the first time at LAFC, but that was the game Carlos Bella got hurt. And I think it was kind of like a turning point there. And so one of the, when you look at the Galaxy turnaround, unfortunately for you guys, one of the people that you can credit for all this is Will Koontz, who I thought was just a real plus for LAFC. And I'm not sure why he left or why the team allowed him to leave. But once he left John Thorrington's right-hand side and came over here, he's a smart guy. He knows the league. He knows the rules. And he added, a number of these starters, Yoshida, Billy Sharp, Fagundes, they all came in during the August transfer window when the Galaxy were under suspension. They couldn't go and get international players. They were fined $1 million. It was probably the best transfer period in several years.
How did they work that? Was it because it was not a transfer? They were a free agent? Is that what happened?
Correct. It was in the case of Billy Sharp, he was a free agent. In the case of Diego Fagundes, they did a trade. He didn't need a transfer certificate because he was already in MLS. There were all these limits. And when we were trying to figure out, like, what is he, you know, the other journalists, what can he possibly do? What can Will Kuntz do? Probably just right off the season. Let's just let it go. And he didn't. He had to thread a needle, and he did that. And on top of all that, he just sold Efrain Alvarez to Tijuana for $2.2 million. That means his whole transfer window was free. And that's he got wild. All these guys in. Yeah, it was incredible. And that's all Will Kuntz. There was nobody in Galaxylandia, I think, that would have been able to do that. That was all Will Kuntz.
So I want to wrap this up, but I guess, like, you know, we've been in a bit of a skid, I want to say, since we lost the Champions League final. It's been hot and cold, and you know, we've lost our last three games in pretty demoralizing fashion, I would say. From watching those games, what are you seeing, and what do you think we need to do to turn it around as a team?
Well, there's a number of things. One is, you're right, it's the Champions League. And I talked to Brian Smetzer, the Seattle coach. Remember, Seattle won Champions League last year and then didn't make the playoffs for the first time ever. And he said that the whole Champions League thing is just, it's a difficult bar to get over and continue going. He's at the fixture crunch that ends right when you're coming into the summer. You got, you know, guys going away on international duty. Now you have to play shorthanded. He said there's a lot of things in that, and kind of gave me the impression that anyone who goes deep in Champions League from MLS is going to have problems the rest of the season. And I think you're seeing that with LAFC. Also, LAFC always seems to stumble. If you look at the record, end of August, early September, every year, even their Supporters Shield years, that's when they got tripped up a little bit. So I think that's just kind of part of normal. You know, they have the best home record in MLS since they came in. They've lost three games already at home this season, three MLS games. That's the most ever. If you include the Champions League game, they've lost more games at home than ever. I think in addition to the fixture crunch, which you had Leagues Cup and U.S. Open Cup, the LAFC could wind up playing almost 60 games this year. That's just insane. But, you know, I don't think the team thought the loss of Opoku or Cienfuentes was going to be that impactful. It was. The back line, it's still kind of a work in progress. You know, Aaron Long's made just 13 starts. In his four healthy non-COVID season, he averaged more than 28 starts. He's not going to get close to that. Murillo's started only 9 times. Hollins had played 4 positions in the back line. And so you say, okay, well, Aaron Long, 13 starts is pretty good. He's going to wind up with 17 or 18. That's most of the games. Yeah, but when he's in there and Hollins has played another position and Murillo's gone and everybody just has to adjust to everybody, I just think that Steve Cherundolo has not had that ability to write down, especially a back line, but a starting lineup of the same 11 guys day in and day out. And it's just causing a lot of guys to have to adjust. I expect LAFC is going to pull out of this. I expect them to make a long run in the playoffs, but they need to build momentum going into the playoffs. If they're scuffling going into the playoffs, it's going to get really tough.
Before we go, any predictions for the game? I know you're a journalist. Well, we won't tell anyone.
No, you guys aren't going to get me to do that on this show. Nice try, though.
Thank you so much for being here, Kevin. When we come back, we're going to make some bets.
And we're back. Now it's time for a segment called Bet It and Forget It.
Bet It and Forget It.
Each week, Travis and I on the show with a bet for this week's game. We make an outlandish prediction for that week, something that almost definitely will not happen, but could. Each week, we both put up $5, and if no one hits, the money rolls over to the next week. Eventually, by the time someone's weird prediction comes true, they might win a good chunk of change. Neither of our bets cashed last week, as usual. So the pool for this week is $60, I believe.
It's getting up there.
We're getting going. It's nice
to win.
We
got up to 100.
Did one of us win on an El Trafico? I vaguely remember you winning on an El Trafico. Is that not the case?
I've won twice. You've won once the whole season. That's where we're at.
Well, and one of those times
I won, we never talked about. You sent my money to Jeff Talk, and I've never gotten it.
He's the heel of the foot. He came onto the show. You weren't there, and he took your money. It was awful.
I gotta stop missing shows.
The rules are the rules.
Last week, my bet didn't cash. It was the lumberjack catastrophe. It was that the lumberjack was going to cut the wood, and something horrific would happen to someone.
And thank God it didn't, of course.
No, I was rooting for it.
Like the journalist. Yes, and mine last week was Chiellini 1 goal, Vela 3 goals, which not only was that what is that normally going to be outlandish, but I neglected to think about the fact that it was turf and
Chiellini wouldn't play.
Chiellini didn't even travel with the team. Those are really terrible bets.
Portland is the only place that has like a somewhat legitimate reason to have turf. They're like they play below sea level, and I guess it gets flooded, so you can't really grow grass where they are. So I think they actually would
in
struggle.
Portland? There's tons of grass in Portland.
I don't. Someone explained it to me once. There's some weird reason why they have to play on turf at their stadium. It has something to do with it being below sea level or something like that. I'm not sure, but I know that
Nike's over there. Can Nike figure it out?
I like that movie Air. That was good.
I love a good business drama.
I will say I left that movie and I was like, yeah, that was a movie. It felt like for so long I've been watching like 3 hour long things that are about something. And this was just like 90 minutes where they try to get a guy to sign a contract. And then he did. It was great.
That's true. I do miss those movies. I don't need amusement park rides. Movies.
Those
are
the 90s movies we got to bring back. Not American Pie. We need some just straightforward adult dramas that last 90 minutes and are about no socio-political issues.
I totally agree with that. What do you have a bet for this week?
Oh, Darren, I have a bet and I'm very confident in it this week.
Oh,
I'm very confident.
You're confident.
And the bet is this. I'm changing it in my brain as I say it.
Oh, should I go first?
No. I'm very confident.
Should we talk more about
Mario Gonzalez? Mario Gonzalez scores a goal and it's voted as goal of the week by MLS fans. Mario Gonzalez wins goal of the week for MLS fans.
I love that bet. So not only will he score, but it will be beautiful.
It will be the best goal of the week.
Or,
and I don't think, and it's
all other goals scored that week will be really lame.
Well, you just have to hope Messi doesn't score because it's like fan voting. And if Messi scores, it's just like, all right, well, 40,000 kids from like, I don't know, Central Asia are going to vote for Messi.
Or like it is extremely cool that I just got to watch Messi score a goal this week. Of course, I'm going to vote for that.
Yeah. It's just funny. Like all the fan polling, anytime we tweeted about Messi, it would just be like 40, like just fan bots of Messi yelling at us. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's a gremlin. Your turn. What's your bet?
You know, I had the same bet. No, I'm just kidding. I really want that to happen one of these times. My bet is maybe the most like, here's just what I want the story to play out as of a bet that I've ever had. It's just pure optimism. So here's what's my bet it's going to be. Denny Bouanga will have an assist to Carlos Vela and Ricky Puig will get a card.
Okay. All right.
Red or yellow.
Another compound.
Those are two not super outlandish things happening at once.
But it's a parlay. You're parlaying. It's fine.
It is. Right. Parlay and forget. Someone's ready to go to Vegas.
Anything you want me to bet on for you?
Should I bet on the exact thing.
I think for karma. No, because I was going to say for karma, I should bet for LAFC this time. But last time I did the opposite and we won. I don't want to change it up now. I'm just not going to bet on the game.
I think maybe don't bet.
I can bet that we'll win MLS Cup. That's fun.
Just bet on Lumberjack Catastrophe. You'll be fine.
Excuse me. What's the over under on number of times Lumberjack hits himself in the leg with a chainsaw? Well, those are our bets. We shall see. That's our show, Darren. Take us away.
Yeah. Well, just a reminder, we'll be streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle of the match on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. There's a link in the show notes. Talk to us in the chat. We'll put you on the show live. Tell us how you feel about what you saw.
Hey,
say something
listened.
Crazy. We don't care.
I loved that new caller who called in the post-game show last week. He was great.
He was awesome. More new callers. Let's do it.
Why? Yeah, some of you are scared to call in. We want to talk to you. You don't have to say anything. You've seen our callers. You don't have to know anything. Our theme music is done.
It's true.
And
also,
I love
mute your video if you really want to, if that's what it is.
Yeah, if you don't want to be seen, you can call. It's fun to talk to people.
We'll put a random cartoon over there, over your face.
Unless, I mean, if we lose again, man, those post games are rough. I know that they're like, they do good numbers for us because I think people like the catharsis of them, but boy, are they not fun to be on camera.
Yeah, it's just a lot of like, what is it?
Vince, tell us.
What's happened? Vince, please, what happened?
And then Vince is like, you're being too emotional. And we're like, shut up, Vince.
You're wrong.
Our theme music is done by the insane team of James Valentine, Nate Walcott, and Louis Palmer. Along with YouTube, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, maybe Facebook and Threads. And if you made it this far into the episode, chances are you're enjoying the show. And if that's true and you want to show us support, please consider becoming the friend of the foot at $5 a month. at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot or pick up Happy Foot Sad Foot inspired merch by going to happyfootsadfootpod.com. You also, Patreons get 15% off that merch. So you can combine the two if you want. Any support really goes a long way, especially now that Vince is on board. We're splitting all the Patreons three ways. So anything you can send our way goes a long way to keep the show going and the community growing. This next part is your line, but I always say it.
Well, thanks again. We'll see you at BMO.
I love you.
Bye.
I love you. If I don't die in Vegas.
Have fun in Vegas, Travis. Be safe. Make good choices.
Maybe the drugs I'll take have fentanyl in it. Bye.
Oh, I just meant, you know, bet on the right things.
Right. I will do. I will lose a lot of money. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye forever. Fentanyl. Love bye.
It. Oh, no. Travis, no. Stop. Travis, I love you.
I love you. Hey, oh my God, Darren.
If this is bye.
Darren, if this is the last time we ever speak.
I'll be cutting all of this.
I love you.
For sure.
Okay, great. Well, you have to release it if I do die. I love you. Bye.
Oh God, bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.